verse 10 said, and the Lord said, thou hast had pity on the gourd. Here you are pouting and you're griping and complaining. You want to die because I didn't kill everybody like you thought I should. But I'm having mercy on them, and I'm saving them, and I'm giving them another chance. And you want me to kill everybody, and now you're having pity on a gourd.
Yeah.
But you ain't got no pity on the people. He said, which came up in the night and perished in the night. Verse number 11, and should not I spare Nineveh? Mm-hmm. Where's your pity? Mm-hmm. Where's your pity? That this great city, wherein more than 60,000 persons that can't, look here, that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand.
Yes, sir.
And also much cattle, they're blind. And you have no pity on them. You have no, they're blind and they need your voice.
Yes, that's good.
Hallelujah.
That's good.
Hallelujah. The God of this city. Lord of this nation, they need somebody to help them. They need someone to give them the gospel. And let's go back to Corinth. Paul labored with little success. He labored with little success, but with great opposition.
Yes.
Where we're at, man?
Yes.
How much time?
32 minutes.
Forget it. I ain't doing it.
Thank you.
Paul labored with little success and great opposition in the city full of idolatry, full of sensuality, full of all kinds of wickedness. Some rejected truth, yes. Some stirred up trouble, yes. Some were persecuting and directly in opposition. And no doubt, Paul said, should I stay? Should I leave? What should I do? I don't know. Looking at this city, it would have been easy to give up hope. But God saw much people there. God's plan was to save many. And he promised Paul success in his labor. He said, I've got much people in this city. I want you to think about this. This is from a different version, the MSG Bible. One night, the master spoke to Paul in a dream. Keep it up! Don't let anyone intimidate or silence you. No matter what happens, I'm with you. No one is going to be able to hurt you. You have no idea how many people I have on my side in this city. That was all he needed to stick it out. He stayed another year and a half faithfully teaching the word of God to those at Corinth. Oh, if we only knew. And so, Brother Alfred, when you heard me pray, God, give me your eyes.
Yes. Yes.
Give me your burden. Give me your heartbeat.
Yes, Jesus.
Give it to me.
Oh,
God. How do you see this city? I already know, God, you see this city with sin. And with, I already know, oh, God. But you've got much people. You've got much people in the city that need to be saved. That need to be saved. That need to hear the gospel. That need to repent of their sins. That need to feel your spirit. That need to be full of the Holy Ghost. I remember words that were said by Isaiah, or that God spoke to Isaiah, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Oh, I wish somebody would hear me tonight. But the next time that you say, well, I'm invited, and they just won't come, I'm going to tell you, you never know the next person. You never know the next person. And quit capitalizing on who's not coming. And just spread the gospel. Just spread the gospel. Get on your face and pray and weep and cry out for God's mercy and God's everlasting, the long sufferingness and grace and his loving kindness. He said, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with my right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that are incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. To walk by faith means to see opportunities even in the midst of opposition. I am about to close, and I won't be a lot longer. I want to give you Paul's testimony in just a moment. A pessimist sees only the problems. An optimist sees only the potential. But a realist sees the potential in the problem. I hadn't heard it on that wise before. The realist sees the potential in the problem. I don't always want to capitalize on the problem, but I'm not so stupid to always be on the potential and all the upside and it being a thing. I want to see, God, I want to see the potential in the problem. I want to see the potential in the, and I know it looks bleak. I know, but I got a God that can conquer. There's no walls too big. I got a God that's full of mercy and grace and loving kindness and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto the death. That's what kind of God I serve today. Faith is obeying God's will in spite of your feelings. In spite of the circumstances, and even in spite of the consequences.
All right. All right.
There never is, and never was, an easy place to serve God. There never is, and never was, an easy place to serve God. If there's an easy place, there's possible problems there. Some say, it would be easier for me to live for God in such and such a place. If I didn't live in this city, it would be easier to live for God over there. No, it won't. No, it won't. Because you can, it doesn't matter where you go, there's going to be problems. There's going to be a struggle living for God and doing right. Living righteously, living godly, living according to the word. There will always be situations. It would be so much easier to live for God if we had a bigger church. Guess whose fault that is? Yeah, we want to make up all these excuses of it would be easier to live for God if I had a bigger youth group. No, it'd be easier to live for God if you shouted like you did every single church service tonight. That's what make it easier to live for God. Come on, not saying, if we had this whole row full of young men. I know you young men just want that, but it's not right there, not right now. But they say, we had more young ladies, this and that. No. You can always say, if it was this way, if it was that way, hey, there ain't no easy place. I said, there ain't no easy place. You just need to buckle up and get in the truck and drive. You just need to live for God. You just need to, come on now. You just need to reach it. Hey, God has given us the city. Paul reminded Timothy that all that would live godly in this life, if you'll live godly, you're going to suffer persecution. Not always. Because I can tell you this, a lot of times I don't suffer any persecution. I do from time to time, but not always. And sometimes, again, we capitalize on all that persecution, on all that struggle. And if Paul did that, there would not be two phenomenal books written to the church of Corinth. They give us so many directions and instructions. As we stand, Paul gives his testimony. And he's standing before the king of a city. He He's standing before a king in Acts chapter 26. And he said, when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Oftentimes I hear it said, isn't it hard? As it's a question. No, Jesus said, it is hard.
Right.
It's hard for you to kick against God. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard to do wrong. It's easy to do right.
Amen.
I said, it's hard. Living for the devil is hard.
Yes,
he's a cruel taskmaster.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. He's cruel.
Yes, he is.
And he says to him, he's given his testimony. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Verse 16, but rise, stand upon your feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose.
Amen.
Ooh, hallelujah.
Praise
I've appeared unto you. This is Paul before he, you understand this? This is Paul before he got to go to Corinth. He said, I got a purpose for you. And I've come to you. I want you to get up. Stand on your feet. I got purpose for your life. To make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and the things in which I will appear unto thee. He said, there's some other things that I'm going to do. I'm going to show you. Oh God, greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Verse 17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. I'm going to deliver you from those people, but I'm sending you to them. Now that almost seems like an oxymoron, if you will. You're going to deliver me from those people, but then you're going to send me right back to them? Yeah, I am. Because it's going to be in a totally different manner. Those same people that you looked at before through that jaundiced eye of disgust because they're tatted up or they're pierced up or they're this and they're strung out and they're all wild and crazy and walking down the road talking to themselves and all the attachments and things and this and that and so on and so forth. All of that. And you get to look in that and you know, I understand. Some folks are scared of those people that have them teardrops tattooed on their face because of what it represents and spider webs on their elbows and all these times that they spent. You know, those spider webs on the elbows have a couple of their meanings, but you see spiders on an elbow, they've been spending time in prison, and that's how many months or how many weeks that they spent in segregation because it was a bad boy. I want everybody to know I'm tough. All these things are things so everybody gets this idea about them. That I'm tough, I'm bad. I want to say, you ain't got no walls.
No walls.
You ain't got no walls. You just think you're tough. My God's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he said in verse 18, to open their eyes, oh God, and to turn them from darkness to light.
Hallelujah.
And so it said, and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God.
Yes.
That they may receive the forgiveness of sins.
Yes.
And inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. He said, I've got a purpose for you. When you, he said, you don't even know you're going to Corinth yet. You don't even know you're going to a vile, wicked city. That I've got all kinds of people waiting on you to get there to turn the light on. all those people that are bound by the powers of Satan. I've got you going on a special mission to Corinth, because I got much people in that city. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. An inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Then he says this: whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Oh, God. He said, I had all this stuff happen to me, King. Oh, I had all these things, and I'm not. You gotta understand. There's been a change come on me, and I've got a purpose. I've got a mission. There's a city, and what did Paul do? He went out and he preached in those cities, in those places, until the gospel was heard throughout all the land. God of this city, I want you to think of it from that perspective from now on out. God, this is your city. It don't matter how much sin, it don't matter how much the wicked, it don't matter any, and none of that stuff even matters. This is your city, God. And I'm here on purpose.
Yes, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
This is where we're at.
Thank you, Lord.
This is where we're at. You've been deformed by the enemy. He's messed with your mind and thought, made you think, well, it would be better somewhere else, and this would be different here, and this and da 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 da. All these things the devil has deformed and put doubts and fears and all kinds of stuff in your brain. Uh-huh. But you've been informed. But this is God's city. This is God's city. And now it's time for you to transform your thinking and your thought process. I feel a change coming on.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you,
Jesus. Praise
the Lord.
Thank you,
Lord.
Oh God. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I give unto thee in the name of Jesus. I'm going to tell you, you can do more for them by saying and having faith in saying, come on, get up out of that bed. Get up out of that lifestyle. Get up out of that. Come on. You come to church, God can deliver you from those drugs. God can take that case of alcohol right out of your mouth. God can take that away. God can help you. God can strengthen you. Oh, if we could just get a hold of that vision, God's got much people in this city. I didn't preach this for a sinner here. I didn't preach this to the sinner. This is for us. This is a commission for us. This is a commission by God to us. Even Brother Greg Maddox, that hasn't even been here, said things to this church just the other night. And Sister Maddox even said, oh, you can feel such a wonderful spirit of prayer. And if we were all honest and really heard what she said and thought about the prayer meeting that we had before service, if you were anything like me, thought, That one didn't even scratch the surface. That was substandard. That was substandard. But oh God. Oh God. There's much trouble. And they're waiting on us. We got it all backwards. We've been waiting for them to come through the door. But they've been waiting on us to go get them. They've been waiting on us to reach to them. They've been waiting on us. They're waiting. They're waiting for that, could I say, cataclysmic moment where the apostolic Jesus name Holy Ghost filled Book of Acts church steps into the new dimension and realm of faith as it was in the days of old, that everything that they touch and every place that they went, the Holy Ghost would just ooze off of them. You're the hope of this nation. You are. Hope for the hopeless. Peace for the restless. There's no way. I don't want it to just be a song.
Praise the Lord.
Jesus, Jesus.
I want it to be my heartbeat. I want it to be part of my life. I want it to emanate from me everywhere I go.
Upside down.
save the gambler, save the alcoholic.